WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy Thursday, June 18th, 2015. You are tuned in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Hopefully you all are having a great, 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 great day. We've got a hot show in store for you as we will talk a little bit over recruiting news concerning Michigan State as well as Michigan. Also from there, we'll give you a sneak peek preview into tonight's Current Sports television sit-down with the one, the only broadcasting icon, George Blaha. Of course, George has been the longtime play-by-play voice for the Detroit Pistons as well as the Michigan State football team. It was a great time sitting down and chatting with George yesterday. You get to see that sit-down tonight, but as custom here on Current Sports Radio, we'll give you a peek into that sit-down. We'll also have Throwback Thursday for you, chat about the St. Louis Cardinals FBI probe, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this June 18th. All right, let's start with some recruiting news concerning the Michigan State football team. West Bloomfield wide receiver Tristan Jackson verbally committed to Michigan State this morning, becoming the 19th member of the Spartans 2016 recruiting class. Now, Jackson is listed at 6 feet 2 and 181 pounds and is rated as a 3-star recruit by Rivals.com. The site ranks him as the number 11 prospect in Michigan and number 73 receiver nationally. 24/7 Sports and Scout.com both rate Jackson as a 4-star prospect. All right, Michigan State University Board of Trustees on Wednesday approved 1-year contract extensions for Athletic Director Mark Hollis, MSU Men's Basketball Coach Tom Izzo, Women's Basketball Coach Susie Merchant, and Hockey Coach Tom Anastas. All 4 votes were considered formalities. Now, Hollis, MSU's AD since 2008, has his contract extended through 2019. The contract for Izzo, entering his 21st season, now rolls over through 2021. Merchant's deal extends to 2019 and Anastas's contract through 2018. Merchant began at MSU in 2007, Anastas in 2011. All right, Michigan has launched a standalone website designed with an eye toward recruiting, which had a soft launch this week at thisismichigan.com, featuring team pages for each of the varsity sports. Each team has its own in-depth experience, from a 1-minute hype video to at the top, usually with the head coach's voiceover, quick facts, a mission statement, and an area with short interviews and photos of athlete and coach experiences. I tell you what, Michigan always pushing the envelope and doing something different. I love it. All right, first year Central Michigan football coach John Bonamago announced today that he has tonsil cancer, but it was caught and is, quote, very, very treatable. Now, Bonamago went on to tweet, "It's one more opponent. I will beat it." He vowed to be on the field for the season opener against Oklahoma State in September. South Fields, Josh Jackson and former Michigan State commit Caleb Swanigan were among 12 players named to the USA Basketball's men's under-19 World Championship team that will compete June 27th to July 5th in Greece. Jackson attends prolific prep in California, Swanigan verbally committed to MSU in April, but signed with Purdue in May. Former Detroit Mercy standout. All right, the pitching duel between Johnny Cueto and David Price on Wednesday night became a battle of the bullpens and lasted well into the morning. It ended on the familiar sight of Todd Frazier rounding the bases. His 13th inning walk-off grand slam clinched his second 2-homer game in as many nights, sending the Cincinnati Reds to an 8-4 win over the Detroit Tigers. Now, the last time a player hit a walk-off grand slam in Major League Baseball was on May 29th, when Padres catcher Derek Norris did so against the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right, one of golf's most coveted majors began today at Chambers Bay in Washington. The U.S. Open, folks, will be reading the leaderboard and giving you an update on that throughout the hour. And last but not least, Tim Duncan. That's right, he alleges that he has lost more than $20 million to a former financial advisor. But the 15-time All-Star said it won't influence his decision as to whether or not he returns to the San Antonio Spurs next year. He says, quote, "Luckily, I had a long career and made good money." And he told this to Bloomberg.com in an interview published on Wednesday. He says, quote, "This is a big chunk, but it's not going to change my life in any way. It's not going to make any decisions for me." Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it right here live on the air. And also tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, folks, I think it's about that time to start the show.
This is a most unspeakable and heartbreaking tragedy. The only reason someone could walk into church and shoot people praying is out of hate. The only reason that it is the most dastardly act that one can possibly imagine. And we will bring that person to justice.
Oh boy, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, it is Thursday, June 18th. And, you know, I found this song to be fitting today to start today's show because of the unfortunate news that many of us woke up towards this morning. I happened to wake up around 8, 9 o'clock. And checked my phone, and my phone was absolutely going bonkers last night. Heard the news again this morning, checked my phone, and I saw some updates from CNN, as well as a few fraternity brothers who had sent out a group text message to all of us. And it just sad stuff, folks. If you haven't heard, a man, 21 years old, his name is Dylan Storm Ruff. He decided last night during a prayer meeting at a historic black church in Charleston, South Carolina. He allegedly went in there. He spent an hour praying with fellow church members at this church. And after spending an hour inside the church, he took out a gun and began to just let loose and let fire. And after an intensive 14-hour manhunt for Dylan, the man who is who allegedly has carried out this massacre, they have arrested him shortly after 11 a.m. today. Just disturbing stuff. Disturbing stuff. And after letting loose and opening fire inside of the church, again, allegedly, he went on to say he let one individual live because he wanted that individual to tell the story as of what happened that night. Then he got in his car, his black car, and hit the road. And it's being suspected that the reason why he did this, just a real sick individual, the reason why he did this was because he wanted to kill black people. Just real unfortunate stuff. It seems to me, you know, in the recent months and even years, that we've been seeing more and more stories that have just been more, you know, that have been racially motivated and just cynical at the end of the day. So I wanted to start off the show by sending my thoughts and prayers to those in Charleston, South Carolina. The church is Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. What's being said, this is the oldest church, or oldest African American church in the South. It has historical significance and just really unfortunate stuff. And actually, the head pastor was also was killed last night. And you know, looking at the coverage from CNN, I mean, everyone was just pouring in with thoughts on this incredible man who was a leader in the community. And, you know, just really sad stuff. And also, I found this out through my fraternity brother who sent out that group message to me this morning, as well as my other fraternity brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. We also found out that he is also a member of our storied fraternity. So just really sad stuff. So I say that and I start the show today because you just never know. Life is too precious. Life is too short. Make sure you tell someone you love, that you do love them, because you just never know. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow, and tomorrow is never promised. So, again, thoughts and prayers out there. Hug someone you love today. Folks, we have a great show in store for you all in lieu of the tragic news that has captured the nation and took the nation by storm. Later on in the hour, we'll be playing my sit-down with George Blaha, longtime voice of the Detroit Pistons and also the Michigan State football team. Man, last night was kind of a slap me and wake me up moment. Am I dreaming? Because, when George walked in, I was talking to George and just telling him how, you know, I remember George, you know, when I was little, you know, watching countless Detroit Pistons games with my socks off, with my grandfather right there next to me as we watch, you know, countless games season after season of George Blaha along with Greg Kelser on television for Fox Sports Detroit, you know, broadcast Pistons games. And watching George Blaha and, of course, some of my favorite puns in broadcasting. One of the probably my favorite has to be count that baby in a foul. Right. Everyone knows George from that. And if you're a Spartan football fan, we all know the historic touchdown MSU. You know, that's George all day. And I was sitting there talking to him. You know, I went from a little kid watching him on TV to now having him as a guest on current sports television as a sports reporter. Man, I tell you what, you know, man, life is good right now, folks. Life is good, I tell you that. So we'll play you a snippet of tonight's current sports television sit-down with George. We'll play it around the 1:30 mark, so you don't want to miss that, folks. Again, you can catch current sports TV and that episode, as not only will George join me, but we'll, of course, highlight Draymond Green and Duncan Keith, two Spartans that have won at the pinnacle of professional sports in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals and now the NBA Finals with Draymond Green. We highlight those two individuals. We also bring you footage of Mark D'Antonio, MSU football coach, as he was named as the Grand Marshal at the Quicken Loans 400 this past weekend. And pretty cool footage, too, because, you know, Coach D gets in a car, gets in a Ford, and gets to ride around the track, and you get to see footage of that. And he also got a tour of the Quicken Loans 400, and he gets to go see different garages and how the cars are maintenance and so on and so forth. And, you know, he's talking to different fans and signing autographs. Just very cool footage. You don't want to miss that either. And we'll also, of course, talk about the Michigan State softball investigation and Jackson Lumen Christie, their baseball team, winning a state championship, their first state championship in baseball in over 30 years. Can you believe that? So you don't want to miss that again. That's tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I want to invite now to Current Sports, the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer here on WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. How you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing well, Al. First off, I'd like to open up by also expressing my, prayers and thoughts for this people in South Carolina. Very somber stuff because I'm from the South. And I can tell you firsthand, I have gone on canoe trips where I wanted to bring my friend Nigel, who is African American, and my dad and I thought better of it because this stuff still does happen, and it's sad, but the nation still has a little ways to go, and unfortunately, the more and more attacks like this, in some ways, the more others will happen because people will see this, and 99.9% of people will abhor it and be like, these people are horrible. They deserve to be punished. But that 0.1% might be like, yeah, way to go. And it encourages copycat. So, let's just hope, some sort of solution and resolution can be reached. But at this time, just thoughts and prayers out to those people in South Carolina.
Yeah, certainly, Isaac. And, it's kind of a reminder that even though we have come a long way, since the 60s in rights in America, there are still some just sick and heinous people living in our world amongst us. And it's really scary how, you would think in a church of all places, this is a church where, you're supposed to be celebrating and a place of uplift. You can't even be safe in a church now. And it just really kind of takes you aback. So thank you for those comments, Isaac. We really definitely appreciate that. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We want to open up today's show by talking about Michigan State football recruiting. Oh, I tell you what, man, Coach D is going to work right now, Isaac. Again, if you haven't heard, and if you're just now tuning in and missed our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, West Bloomfield wide receiver Tristan Jackson verbally committed to Michigan State this morning, becoming the 19th member of the Spartans' 2016 recruiting class. Jackson is listed at 6'2" and 181 pounds and is rated as a 3-star recruit by Rivals.com. The site ranks him as the number 11 prospect in Michigan and the number 73 wide receiver nationally. 24/7 Sports and Scout.com both rate Jackson as a 4-star prospect. Really just amazing stuff what this program has been doing, Isaac, because if you look at it, Michigan State has cracked the top five in the 2016 class team recruiting rankings, according to a multiple national recruiting services out there. The Spartans in the national top five really believed to be, kind of unprecedented at this stage of any recruiting season in the modern era. I will say I want to temper those emotions by saying it is still early. It is still early. I mean, we really don't start to see, the storied SEC go to work on the recruiting trail for next season, not until late in the year, maybe around January or February and so on and so forth. But you better believe that those teams like in Alabama, like the LSUs of the world, they are going to really start to bulk up their recruiting class for the years to come very, very soon. So right now, though, if you are a Spartan fan and looking at what has ensued as of in the recent months and looking at the amount of talent they've drawn, it is truly remarkable. And I think it speaks volumes to where Coach D'Antonio and his coaching staff has this program in a national perception conversation. People look at Michigan State now, being back-to-back years now, ranked in the top five, coming off, winning a Rose Bowl last year, in the season after that, this past season, winning a Cotton Bowl. That does something to the eyes of a young kid who's pretty good at football in high school when making his decision as to where he wants to take his talents. People see that. Kids see that. It's all about branding, and winning attracts attention. Kids are starting to see that, and they want to be a Spartan. They want to be a part of the legacy and the incredible team that Mark D'Antonio has been building for quite some time now.
Well, they definitely do. And when I look at it, MSU has 19 commits for the 2016 season. I mean, next school year hadn't even started yet. That's the second most in the top. That's the second most in the nation. Like, that's insane. And maybe detractors will say, yeah, well, where are the five stars? Mm-hmm. And you know what? Most of them are three stars. But they've still been recruited. When I look at that Bleacher Report notification that says MSU, so you know, gets a commitment from whoever, I see the names of Ohio State, you know, Mississippi, all those SEC and other contenders. I see them that the recruit is choosing over. And Michigan State has never been a school to get all these picks attention. They've never been a school to get the five stars. They develop players. So the more players they have that they think fit into the system and that they can develop and choose from, this is a really good recruiting class. Dang.
I'm telling you, it's very impressive. And you look at some of the names. I mean, you know, Josh King, Austin Robertson, who we highlighted on the show, defensive end. Two defensive ends that are supposed to be just through the roof. They are both listed as four stars. Justin Lane, he's also a four-star wide receiver. Cameron Chambers, wide receiver, four-star. Naquan Jones, defensive tackle, he's a four-star. Demetric Vance, four-star as well. Messiah DeWeaver. I mean, you can go on and on and on. This class is now even, they even have a nickname. I don't know if you heard this, Isaac, but they're being called Dream Team 16, very, very impressive stuff. So, and again, you know, I've gone on the record and saying, as always, when we have discussions on recruiting, how I hate recruiting. But again, this is very impressive when you look at the amount of talent and how, just looking at the stars, which I don't put too much harp on the stars and so on and so forth, because again, I've seen multiple times a four- or five-star recruit come on a college campus and not live up to the hype. We've seen that. And these kids are young. Sometimes, you know, being in the spotlight, some of these kids crumple, point-blank period. But, again, for those that are recruiting heads and looking at the amount of talent that's on this squad, and Michigan State being known to not grab, and you know, looking at their past history, not to grab the usual, you know, four- or five-star recruits, to finally snag those, and looking at what they've done with the talent they've had, you know, those two or three stars that have come through the doors of Michigan State have been developed into some of the best talent in the nation. D'Antonio has turned what has been perceived as lemons into lemonade for quite some time now. And now, just imagine, if you get that talent, that national talent that really turns a lot of heads, and you further develop that, oh my goodness, it's scary to kind of look at the possibilities of where some of these young men could reach, point blank period. I love it.
And the other thing that I think so important here and really unique, I have not seen this before, is the football players are, for the next class, not even the 2015 class, are recruiting. They called themselves the Dream Team.
Exactly.
Nobody called them that. They called themselves that. There's a Facebook page for it. There's everything. And it's really impressive. We haven't seen the likes of that at Michigan State. And, of course, good players attract others. But for players who have been recruited to already be so loyal and committed to the program, that says something about the recruiting job that Coach D and all his assistants are doing. And these are some big names. DNs, quarterbacks, some of the most important positions on the field. So it's a bright time for Michigan State football. I mean, wow.
That's certainly true. And, you know, and talking about how already, you know, this 2016 recruiting class, how they've dubbed themselves, you know, Dream Team 16. You know, what really stands out to me is when Messiah DeWeaver, quarterback from Dayton, Ohio, who's listed as a three-star recruit, also a four-star recruit in certain recruiting services. How when he announced that he was going to become a Spartan, he said, "Okay, I'm definitely going to try to reach out to some others and try to recruit others to be a part of this legacy that you know we want to be known for in the 2016 recruiting class." So Messiah talked about how he's going to be reaching out to other players and trying to get them to become Spartans, and that kind of just speaks volumes as to how strong the commitment of these young men are. Because, you know, the flip side of this whole thing is we've seen recruits say, "Yeah, I'm going to be a Spartan," verbally, and then later on down the line say, "I don't know, I may go to this school instead. I changed my commitment." But looking at how all of them have been reaching out to one another and talking amongst one another and building that chemistry already, it seems to me that they are pretty committed, and I don't think they're going to be flippy-floppy about their decision. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, I brought up, well, we typically bring up on this show how Michigan is expanding its recruiting base. They're going into the South, and some people don't like that. Only 3 of Michigan State's recruits are from Michigan.
Exactly.
That's kind of crazy. So, you know, when you look at that, you think that MSU really is stealing recruits that would otherwise go to schools. Like looking at, you know, Josh King, for example. Mm-hmm. He had offers from LSU, Ohio State, Oregon. I mean, Michigan State is not only winning these recruits, but winning them over top schools. And the more they win, the more they win, you
right,
know, because
right.
other recruits will follow that motion, especially with a guy. How about a leader as a recruit, Messiah DeWeaver? Because he was the one that started the dream team.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's recruiting all these other players. And he's going to be some leader when he gets to college because
yeah.
he's already a leader.
Already displaying those quarterback abilities, leadership abilities that you would like behind center, right? I mean, he's doing what a quarterback does. I mean, he's just kind of taking the bull by the horns and saying, hey, come to Michigan State. We can build something special here. And again, you know, the branding. I always say when you talk about recruiting, branding is so big because, again, you know, if you have a team that is not only, you know, successful on the field, but also getting Michigan State's brand out there, that does a lot as well. That does a ton. I think D'Antonio, I mean, again, you know, I talked about how, you know, from Current Sports TV tonight, you'll get to see him being named as the Grand Marshal and, you know, getting, you know, to go down at the Quicken Loans 400 and say, driver, start your engines. I mean, that does a lot just for the notoriety and just putting Michigan State on the map. And that's why you see Jim Harbaugh, which the sim allows, you know, in the Big Ten at least, allows you to do, go to different satellite camps, speak, meet other kids. That does a lot as far as getting the kids to come to your school as well. And, you know, different appearances on ESPN roundtables. We saw Coach D before the national championship game. He was invited down to ESPN just to go do countless different ESPN shows on a national level throughout an entire day. Kids see that. I mean, when they tune into ESPN and they see Coach D'Antonio speaking, they say, man, he's pretty cool. I may want to go. I like to play for him. You know what I mean? So branding is so, so big. And doing things that other schools aren't doing to reach those type of recruits are big. And that's why I want to also shout out Jim Harbaugh and the U of M football program. They just recruited. They just made a recruiting website, as I mentioned, our Quick Hit Headliners. I mean, that's different. I never heard of a quote-unquote recruiting website where recruits can go to find out about their respective program. They get a hype video with the voiceover of the coach. I mean, no other school is doing that. I mean, that's thinking outside the box in order to get the leg up on the competition.
It is, but at the same time, I don't know what I think about that idea because when I think of recruiting, I think it should be specialized for the player you're recruiting. Like when I was being recruited for college, for example,
mm-hmm.
I had all these personalized emails. And it really made me feel like, wow, Michigan State cares, things like that. Instead of just a website that I was just on getting recruited by U of M, don't think I've got the talent to play basketball there, but, you know, mm-hmm. I've got the same. I just hope that they're not using that in place of an actual message or. And it certainly doesn't look like it. They are, but
I think it's just in addition to be honest. I think that this is just kind of a hub where if they want to know about the program or the history of the program and look at the different credentials on the program, they can also go to while doing those other things. I'm pretty sure, you know, they are sending out those emails, as you just mentioned, Isaac. And you see Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he's doing whatever it takes right now in order to get U of M football back on that stage, including going to different satellite camps. It was interesting. I saw a quote from him yesterday that talked about, you know, because there are a lot of SEC coaches that feel as though it's unfair with how the Big Ten doesn't have restrictions on where their coaching staff can go to recruit. They don't have those restrictions, whereas in the SEC, you can't go, you know, 50 miles away from campus to a different camp in a different state, maybe on the other side of the nation, to recruit. Whereas in the Big Ten, it doesn't matter. You can go to any satellite camp you want to and show up and recruit different individuals. But, you know, you got Jim Harbaugh out there playing with his shirt off, just having fun, showing that he's a personable guy, and I want you to come to my school. Jim Harbaugh is pulling out all the tricks of the trade. And yesterday, we even mentioned how he even has a position open right now to be sort of like a liaison between the football program and the university as a personal assistant to Jim Harbaugh to sort of balance all that he's doing. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh, if any coach in this nation, is really pushing the envelope as far as branding U of M football, as well as reaching out and doing things out of the ordinary, which could be very beneficial down the line.
Well, they certainly are. And, you know, like, I bet they are doing those other things, and I'd be shocked because Harbaugh looks like he's working his butt off to get all of these recruits. And the thing is, we mentioned Michigan State being number 5 in the national recruiting. Michigan's right there at number 9, you know, and that's after Michigan State's coming off a Cotton Bowl season, which is, of course, now a Big 6 bowl. And that's after U of M's coming off a season where they didn't make a bowl game.
Right.
So
it says a lot.
It's amazing what the Harbaugh effect does. And yes, he might get a little bit too much attention now and then when he's just playing golf on the course or whatever. But
yeah,
he is a great coach. And his recruiting, I mean, you can't fault it so far.
Yeah, so far he certainly is working his butt off. But again, I do think the attention that Jim Harbaugh is getting is just like, come on, really? Like, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated and hasn't even coached a college football game under the helm of U of M yet. I don't get that. I just don't understand that. But, hey, he's Jim Harbaugh. He's going to garner that attention regardless. What do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you will get a sneak peek into tonight's current sports TV sit-down with the voice of the Detroit Pistons and also the Michigan State football team, George Blaha. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Keep it locked right here to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Always have been. Our phone lines are open again. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, have you checked out our new website that launched this morning?
I have not.
It's got a new sexy look. A new sexy look as opposed to what we've been dealing with in the past. It looks more sleek. I like it a lot. I got to give a shout out to Bill Richards, our website guru here at WKAR. He's done a fantastic job in revamping things. Again, you can check it out by simply going to WKAR.org. So you'll be dealing with a different monster when you get to post today's current sports radio show later on. Same process, though. Same process.
Probably looking forward to it, though. You know how much time I've spent just waiting for that darn thing to load.
Yeah, jeez. I know, right? Maybe, let's hope it's a little quicker, right? We'll definitely see. All right, well, folks, it's about that time where each and every Thursday afternoon here on Current Sports Radio, we give you a preview of tonight's Current Sports television show. And I got a chance to sit down with a local broadcasting icon and one of the most recognizable personalities in Detroit and the NBA. George Blaha recently completed his 39th season as radio and television play-by-play voice of the Detroit Pistons and has been anchor and play-by-play voice for Spartan football broadcast for nearly 4 decades, making him the longest tenured play-by-play announcer in the state of Michigan. Wowza. That's crazy, right? So, George, join me this week on Current Sports TV. You're going to get a sneak peek preview into that chat right now. And I started our interview by asking George, when he hears the word broadcasting icon, what rolls through that mind of his?
I'm thinking, wow, it's a long way from my first job at Adrian, Michigan, you know. And I think the nicest thing that's happened to me has been the acceptance from the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, because if they don't like what you do, sooner or later, you won't be on the air.
Exactly.
And they've been great to me. They really have. That's why anytime I can interact with the fans, I do. I really appreciate what they've done for me. I mean, I think I've done my best, but if they didn't say thumbs up, I wouldn't be here right now. You'd be interviewing somebody else.
Now, George, was there a specific moment when you knew, okay, when someone came up to you and said, man, we love what you do, that really hit you and said, okay, I'm pretty good at this thing?
Well, the first time I felt like I might be somebody, whatever that means,
right?
I was at a function for the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame long before I was inducted, and I was walking over to maybe get a cold beer or something, and I walked by the four tops who were performing. And Levi Stubbs, God rest his soul, one of the great voices of my lifetime, says, George Blaha. And I said, holy cow, Levi knows who I am?
right. So that was that moment.
That was that moment.
Oh, my goodness. And you bring up the Four Tops. I mean, my grandfather, he was a big fan of Levi and the Four Tops
sure.
as well. So, yeah, I can just imagine what went through your head, right?
Oh, my God. That was like, whoa.
Yeah. And being inducted into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame back in 2010. First off, where were you when you got the call?
I can't even remember because it was kind of a blur, but I was told to be downtown. We're going to have an announcement. And I had been nominated, as you are usually, you know, for any Hall of Fame a few months before. And I just kind of put it out of my head. I said, well, it's nice to be nominated,
right?
Whether you make it or whether you don't.
Exactly.
It's an honor. And next thing I knew, I heard that I'd been accepted, or whatever you want to say, into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I had been to an awful lot of Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. I have great respect for the great athletes that have come up in the state of Michigan mm-hmm. and performed for our pro teams or our collegiate teams. So it was like a wow time for me. I still kind of feel like, why are they putting a broadcaster in the Sports Hall of Fame? Because those guys did it on the field. I just do it with a microphone, but I'm not going to give it back. Just like when they...
would you do that, right?
Yeah, right. When Michigan State, some great athletes were kind enough to make me a part of the Spartanesque Club. Mm-hmm. I was at their golf outing in the spring when it happened, and I just spoke briefly. I said, I don't know why you're allowing me in here, but I tell you what, I'm not going to give this honor back. I appreciate it.
Might as well take it, right?
You're darn right.
Now, Blaha, of course, talking about what you do behind the mic, you know, you heard my best impression of Blaha-isms, you know, count that baby in
nice
a foul.
Nice job.
Can you give us a quick count that baby in a foul?
Count that baby in a foul.
Oh, I got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps, folks. Out of all the Blaha-isms that you have, I mean, you know, hoisting hits, measures and makes. I mean, how do you come up with these things?
You know, they usually just happen. And if you, and probably have there been a few of them that slipped by me and I never said them again. But if you say something that you think works and it doesn't seem too outlandish or take you out of the flow of the game by much, then you try to remember it and use it again. But most of the things that I have done over the years have had to do with the fact that the pro game is so fast, you have to come up with some abbreviations.
Right.
You have to say off the high glass rather than the shot goes high off the backboard, you know.
You got to be quick with it.
Yeah. And that worked so well for me. And so when I started using some abbreviations like that, and I liked them, I kept on using them. And my time call, you know, 5 and 42, 3 and 15.
Right.
That goes way, way back to a great baseball broadcaster, our true icon, coast to coast, a guy named Harry Carey.
Oh, yes. Come on, everybody knows Harry Carey.
When Harry Carey was a younger man, before he was in Chicago with the White Sox and later the Cubs, he did the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX Clear Channel radio out of St. Louis.
Right.
And I would listen to him as I was a kid, stay up as late as I could to hear his calls. And when everybody else would say 0-2, the traditional count, he would go, two strikes and nothing.
Oh,
And I remember that. I remember it rather than just the same old count that sometimes you almost don't remember, or you forget what the count is. You never forgot the count when Harry gave it to you. So I thought maybe I should do something like that with the time. And then one day I realized what I wanted to do with the time, and hopefully it hasn't bothered too many people over the years.
So I tell you what, so you've actually sat down and just kind of planned, you know, different quick hit one-liners that you could possibly use on the air, and then some have just stuck with you, right?
Well, like I say, most of them, they just happen during a game.
Most just happen, okay.
You just end up saying it, and then you say, maybe I should use that again, you know.
What about count that baby in a foul? Is something you planned
count
out?
Count that
just
baby
happened?
In a foul? No, that just came.
That just
believe
came?
Believe it or not. Believe it or not. And you talk about some of your people who have made a difference in your life. I know that Fred Heumann in your lifetime was a mentor of yours. One time Fred came, and this is the first time I've said this to anybody. Mm-hmm. Fred and his people from, I think he was in, it was, let's just say he was in Lansing at the time. He could have been okay. In Flint or Detroit, because Fred's been a big-time broadcaster in our state for a long time.
Right, right.
They did a feature on me. So they said, we're going to shoot the beginning of the broadcast. So I said, well, I got to start it with something. So I said, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball. And ever since that night, once I used it, I had to keep using it because I liked it, and right. Fred thought it was pretty nice. So
wow.
I've been using that ever since. And whether somebody's excited about the game or not, I am.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's not something I'm just saying.
Right.
NBA basketball is a phenomenal thing to watch, and I've been privileged to watch it all these years.
So that's how that was birthed.
Yeah.
Oh, but we got kind of an exclusive here on Current
You
Sports.
Did, how absolutely.
Now, thank what's your
thank
favorite
Thank you, Fred.
One? Yeah, thank you, Fred, exactly, from both of us, okay? What's your favorite one?
I suppose the one that people like the most is Count That Baby in a Foul, so I guess
right.
I got to go with, you know, I told you how good the fans have been to me, I might as well go right back at them. So that's what I would say.
I like that. Okay, George, does October 23rd, 1976 ring a bell?
Sure does.
What was that date?
That was a day, and I was living in the Lansing area at the time, that I broadcast my first Detroit Piston game, and I don't remember much about the drive down or the drive back, but I'll tell you about it in a second. One thing that happened on the drive back, I'm at Cobo, I'm doing the game, I'm ready for the game to start, and Bob Lanier and Wes Unseld come out for the opening tip. And I say to myself, man, this is a man's game. I better right. be ready for this.
Playing with the big doors,
buckle
maybe.
Up my seatbelt.
Yeah.
And it was very exciting. I'm not sure how I did. But I do know when I finished and got in my car to drive back to the Lansing area, mm-hmm. I ended up in Grosse Pointe.
Did you? How does that happen?
I was so excited about doing an NBA game that it was hard for me to even comprehend where I was driving. It's a good thing I didn't get in an accident.
Right, I'm but telling you,
once
man.
Once I got out that far east, then I said, well, maybe I better go back this way and go home.
I wish they had GPSs back then,
yeah,
right?
It was an exciting night for me, though, that's for sure.
George, can you kind of take me through a day of preparation for you? Let's say you got a Pistons and Bucks game at 7 o'clock tonight. How do you prepare from the time you get up to the time tip-off happens?
Well, first of all, I go through almost everything imaginable on the Pistons during training camp.
Right.
So I'm pretty well prepared for the Pistons after that, and I make an exhaustive kind of lineup card for the Pistons with the coaches over here and all the assistant coaches, the number of titles the franchise has won. I don't know why I write them down for the Pistons, because I know when they won, but I do it anyway.
Yeah.
And what the record was last year, when they got eliminated, or you know, and if they haven't made the playoffs for a while, how many straight years they haven't, and all that. Then I get into the power forward, small forward, center, shooting guard, point guard, and then the backups and the swing man first, and then the bigger people, and then the guards down at the bottom of my sheet. And I got all kinds of information on all of them.
How do you organize that throughout a game? That's a lot of information.
Well, it's just there. You
okay.
know, if I need to refer to it, I've got it.
Right.
But every time we, you know, we're playing somebody else for the first time, especially mm-hmm. the whole Milwaukee Bucks thing, has to be updated again. You know, you start all over with what's their car going to look like this year.
Right.
And, you know, there are a lot of players that, believe it or not, last in this league 5 years or more. So some of the some of the players you know about, but you got to refresh your memory about what they've been, what they've done, what their best year was. I always like to know what a guy's best year was.
Right.
And, you know, the way three-point shots are becoming essential, what their career three-point percentage is, but what their best year as a three-point shooter was. Mm-hmm. If they're a rebounder, what their best year rebounding was. Mm-hmm. And if they're an offensive rebounder, where they ended up last year in offensive rebounding. Then when I get to the Palace, we have a production meeting, and some guys go in and that are broadcasters, and good for them, they go in and eat. I don't. I just stay right there and keep poring over the stats. Mm-hmm. And so I've gone over everything by the time that game starts. This team is third in the league in field goal percentage defense.
Right.
And
preparation.
Yeah. But one thing that they most teams, everybody has a strength and a weakness.
Yeah.
Every team has a strength and a weakness.
Right.
So, okay, if the Pistons are playing a certain team and they don't take care of the ball, you know, they're one of the worst at committing turnovers, well, then you know you need to get up in their grill and see what you can turn them over and get some easy baskets.
Exactly.
So all kinds of things you can learn from those numbers, and I try to get into them a little bit. But I try to do it closer to game time, because there's so many teams and so many numbers, you got to do, in my opinion, works best for me.
Right.
Let's do it now.
Exactly.
Because tomorrow we're playing somebody else, and all those numbers are going to be different. And so I need to do tomorrow's game tomorrow. So that's how that goes.
It's all about preparation, right? That's what makes this man great, folks. Gotta love that. Now, before we transition, George, into the 12th man portion of our show, I know you wanted to talk about what Coach D'Antonio has done right here at Michigan State with this unbelievable MSU football program, and as well as Tom Izzo, who is just coming off another Final Four appearance. I mean, talk about those two.
How can you have a school? There cannot be a school in America that has great coaches like this at the same time in the two greatest revenue sports. Mm-hmm. There can't be. Nobody else has a Mark D'Antonio and a Tom Izzo.
Nobody else.
Probably nobody else has a Mark D'Antonio. Probably nobody else has a Tom Izzo. But to have them both at the same time, that's what's terrific about what's going on at Michigan State now. And when I started out as a youngster, I grew up in the state of Iowa. I was a football and basketball fan. We had a great coach there named Forrest Evashevsky, who won two Rose Bowls going away. Had a great, great program going. He and Biggie Munn then, and then Duffy Doherty at Michigan State, among the first guys to really integrate college football. So we had some great teams out there. I was a college football fan. When I was about your age, Michigan State had the greatest teams that they've ever had, and among the greatest teams any university's ever had, the Duffy Doherty teams of the 60s.
Right.
Last time they were in the top five, 2 years in a row, as Coach D has done right now.
Yeah.
So when you think about how great those guys were and how good you have to be in the top five in a country 2 years in a row, you know what Coach D has done. And what Tom Izzo has done, everybody knows all those numbers. They're spectacular. And the best thing about him maybe is guys like Draymond Green,
yeah,
who are just like Tom Izzo. When they hit the pros, they've been taught how to play smart and play hard and be tough-minded. And you got to be proud of what Draymond did in the NBA Finals, especially in the clinching game six with a triple-double. That was
triple-double.
Awesome.
In the company, when they went and listed the amount of just players that have had a triple-double in the finals and they have Draymond Green's name in that company, really special stuff. Oh, boy, very well said. Again, that's your sneak peek preview into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with the one, the only, George Blaha, the famed voice for the Detroit Pistons as well as the Michigan State football team. Catch that sit-down and so much more tonight on your televisions. Tune into WKRTV at 10 p.m. All right, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will wrap up today's show with Throwback Thursday. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A quick update right now on the U.S. Open, if my browser will load. Okay, technology just isn't my friend today, Isaac. I don't know if you have the leaderboard. Do you have the leaderboard open on your laptop, brother? If you could bring that to us in a sec, that'd be fantastic. My laptop has been going haywire today. We'll get to that in just a sec. Also, you know, we encourage you all to weigh in. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. And people still want to talk about the NBA Finals, Isaac. Can you believe that? I have a few comments here that I want to read. This one coming from, this is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can also go there, shoot us a comment, and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Just a quick comment here from Anthony Taki Zander, who wants to weigh in. Anthony says, he is the best player in the world, referring to LeBron James, but the Warriors were the best team. That's all that matters. This isn't golf or tennis where being the best player in the world means something. I guess Anthony is referring to when LeBron James came out and said that I am the best player on the planet. And also have two more comments here. This one is coming from, actually, when I put on my Facebook page, an interesting story coming from Kobe Bryant, in which Kobe Bryant actually stood up for LeBron James. I don't know if you saw this one, Isaac, but, you know, not many people can relate to LeBron James, the number of human beings who know what it's really, you know, like to be the best active basketball player in the world. But I tell you what, Kobe Bryant can relate to that, because at one time, Kobe Bryant was the best in the world. Now, Kobe went out and tweeted, media critique. MJ was a gunner. Magic was a coach killer. Shaq wasn't serious. LeBron James couldn't handle pressure. Spurs are too old. Hashtag before rings. Then Kobe tweets out this. The point is, we all go through it. The criticism, the praise, the wins, the losses, the hero, the villain. It's a beautiful cycle. Hashtag love it. Hashtag the process. And then Kobe responded to a fan who said that LeBron has yet to prove he can win without other superstars. This tweet is coming from at Paul Brahan. He says, LeBron has yet to prove he can win a championship without two other superstars. Then Kobe responded to that fan saying, LeBron doesn't need to prove that. I had Shaq plus Paul. MJ had Pip. Magic had Worthy and Kareem, etc. And we all had great teammates. Well, the mama has spoken and reminded us to never go against someone who's got Kobe in his corner. What do you think about that one, Isaac?
I think that's awesome.
Isn't it?
Not even a Kobe fan, but wow. I mean, you talk about such an intelligent human being. First off, that was eloquent the way he put it. That's
right.
The beautiful cycle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But no, I also think he's exactly right, because you know what? All of these players are... they've got the media and other people have some beef with them. And then it slowly starts to fade when they realize your greatness. So I think that's happened with LeBron. I think it's happened with Kobe. And some players have that aura stick around a little bit longer. But look at MJ. I mean, MJ, he did have help. And the thing is, MJ was thought of as a gunner a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
Definitely all of that. But nobody remembers that about MJ. They just remember the greatest player of all time. I think that's how LeBron not will be remembered. But I think all of this hype about not winning with superstars and whatnot will fade.
Oh, without it. I mean, look at the countless players who, you know, were great players but never won a ring. I mean, Charles Barkley and Gary Payton and Karl Malone and John Stockton. I mean, all falling victim eventually to Michael Jordan and company. But yeah, and you know, we have a few comments that wanted to comment on LeBron James's you know, overall persona, and you know, how individuals out there love to hate LeBron James. Josh Haggard says, LeBron is not personable. That is why people do not care for him. Also due to the fact that he jumps team to team, shows no loyalty. That's what Josh Haggard has to say. Megan Roof saw that comment and commented on our page and says, LeBron doesn't need to be personable, nor does he need people to like him for him to be respected as an elite basketball player. So many legendary players in the game have played for multiple teams, so I don't know that discounts him, if that discounts him at all. The way he left Cleveland the first time was not tactful, and I was an angry fan at the time. However, sports is also entertainment, and the reality is millions of people sat and watched an hour-long production of a decision that they could have found out by skimming the headlines of a press release. He's a media genius and has capitalized on that hate, still one of the greatest players of our time. Josh goes on to say, That moment when LeBron says he's the best player in the world, but Steph Curry is crowned MVP and champion. So just a banter back and forth here on our Facebook page. Again, if you want to comment and weigh in on that, go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. It's Thursday. That means Throwback Thursday, folks, where we hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at just what occurred on this particular Thursday in sports history.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, Michael over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it.
All right, folks, you hear the montage. That means it is Throwback Thursday. Let's take a look at what happened on this Thursday, June 18th, in sports history. Well, let's start things. Let's go to 1990. Hal Irwin defeated Mike Donald in a playoff that lasted 19 holes at the U.S. Open. At the age of 45, he became the oldest U.S. Open champion. How about that? And my browser is currently working right now, finally, right? And just get a quick update, a score update, looking at the leaderboard in the first round of the U.S. Open. Phil Mickelson, how about Phil, man? He's tied at the top of the leaderboard with Patrick Reed, excuse me, at 3-under. Kevin Chappell is at 2-under. He's tied with Hideki Matsuyama. Hopefully I got that name right, as well as Matt Kuchar, Dustin Johnson. Then you have at 1-under, you got Alexander Levy and Adam Scott. So interesting stuff. Tiger Woods does not tee off until around 2:30. So going to be a fun weekend. I'm going to be glued to my couch watching that. Hopefully Tiger Woods can I'm just hoping he finishes and makes the cut, okay? Hopefully he finishes, folks. I don't want to see any more 80s on his scorecard. And speaking of Tiger Woods, in 2000, Tiger won the 100th U.S. Open by 15 shots over Ernie Els and Miguel Angel Jimenez. How about that? I wish he could get back to some form of relevance when it comes to that, right? But, man, 15 years ago, Tiger winning the 100th U.S. Open by 15 shots. That's called dominance, folks. 2001, Retief Goosen captured the 101st U.S. Open Championship. 2003, the Toronto Raptors named Kevin O'Neill head coach. 2006, Australian Jeff Ogilvie won the 106th U.S. Open by one shot over three golfers, including Phil Mickelson. So a lot of U.S. Open things to note here on Throwback Thursday, because, you know, it happens around this time every single year. In 2007, the Baltimore Orioles fired manager Sam Perilozzo, and also in that very same date on the same year, the Ottawa Senators fired general manager John Muckler and replaced him with head coach Brian Murray. In 2008, Tiger Woods would miss the remainder of the golf season due to reconstructive left knee surgery. 2009, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Dante Stallworth was suspended by the NFL indefinitely. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick headline. Well, excuse me, not quick headliners, your Throwback Thursday moments. Again, folks, we want to extend a thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Again, thanks to George Blaha for joining me this week on Current Sports TV. Catch that tonight at 10 p.m. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.